He ran a good race, but Bernie Sanders is officially out of the running for the Democratic presidential nominee. Biden now looks set to take on Trump in November, while Trump looks more power mad this week than ever. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. You can find us wherever good podcasts reside each week, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Bernie is officially out. Biden is all but confirmed to run against Trump. Ed, we've unpacked this one pretty thoroughly. Anything to add today?
Well, I think that election in Wisconsin was really stupid, putting people's lives in danger to go out because the Republicans wanted to have an election. Maybe they thought enough black people would be infected that they could kill them off before the election. But that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I think there should be a criminal investigation of that trick. It didn't help. I think now the Democrats in Wisconsin are so mad they'd vote for anybody but Trump.
What are we talking about next in this race? Running mate for Biden?
Yeah. And, you know, there are about 10 names mentioned. I think Klobuchar is still well up there. She is from Minnesota, which is a Midwestern state. And she has all kinds of things going for her. A few little things about her being attorney general a long time ago. But she's been through the whole war. Remember, she ran for president. She ran in every state and cleared the hurdle. You know, she got above 10% in all these states. So she's a very good bet. The mayor in Indianapolis, of course, I mean, in Indiana, isn't Buttigieg because he's a male. So otherwise, he'd be a decent choice. So I think we're now down probably to Stacey Abrams, the former candidate for governor in Georgia, who's just an outstanding speaker by anyone's dimensions, and a very clever woman. And Georgia's a state that maybe the Democrats could win. And then Kamala Harris, the other African-American woman, who's really a tough cookie. Whether she and Biden could be in the same room together, I don't know. So I think it's Klobuchar, probably Abrams, and Harris. Those are the ones that look good to me. The governor of Michigan, she looks pretty good, but I think staying in Michigan's a smarter move for her.
Well, I'd have to say that's the exact same list I've got sitting in front of me. That's my list right there. Wall Street was pretty happy to see Bernie out of the race with a bounce for the Dow. Mixed feelings on that one. But given the ongoing pandemic and Trump's popularity remaining with his base, what challenges lie ahead for Biden?
Well, the biggest challenge for him is getting the states with a lot of electoral votes to vote for him. And there are three states that are really critical in this. Florida, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. Ohio, I was going to say that. Ohio's important. I don't know how important all this. I think Ohio will stay with Trump. But Michigan, if Michigan goes, that means Minnesota goes and Wisconsin goes. That's a domino effect. If you got Pennsylvania and Florida, and there's a possibility, everybody's keeping this quiet, that Texas might go for Biden.
And just, Bernie did have a pretty good race. Is there any thoughts of winning over Bernie's voters to Biden's side?
That started already. Biden's talking about Bernie is a champion of the little guy and that he'll be on my team championing the little guys. And there have already been made significant concessions in this campaign to ensure that he's included. I suspect Medicare for all is one of those. And with this pandemic, who's going to vote against Medicare for all? No matter how rich or how poor you are, you want some health coverage because you don't know what the hell could happen. The other side of this thing, you know, here in Australia, we are about to give everyone $750 a week or $1,500 a fortnight, $3,000 a month. Do you think that's going to go away? I don't think so. It may go down, but it will not go away. Anyone's employed in a casual job and the like, to keep those people employed is far more important than having them unemployed and no job base to absorb them. So I think we're headed the way of Finland here, the United States, that the first measly $1,000 check and the unemployment dollars are going to roll into something very similar, a national income. It'll be just like Social Security, that if you make a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, it's just taxed away from you. So everybody's just going to get a tax, and everyone's going to get health care. And that will mean there will be some stability in the housing market. The other markets will stabilize. The U.S. economy will revive. And I think the U.S. economy will revive on two fronts. Manufacturing will return to the United States. No one in the United States is going to depend on a foreign supply of ventilators in the future and a foreign supply of anything that Americans need. So General Motors will return. All the things that we didn't do in Australia by not keeping holding will not happen in the U.S. So I think GM's coming back, Boeing's coming back. The U.S. could dominate the skies at the end of all this. And most of those travelers are going to be in the United States and Canada. I don't think many people are going to take their next trip to Venice. And I hope my apartment in Venice is still safe.
Also this week, Trump has fired, firstly, Intelligence Community Inspector General Michael Atkinson in an act of blatant political revenge for doing his job and forwarding through the whistleblower complaint about Trump extorting political favors from the Ukraine. Forwarded that one through to Congress. Thoughts on this one, Ed?
What can I say? The man is vindictive. He's ugly. He doesn't care. The only thing he cares about is himself, and he just showed that again. I don't anticipate the Democrats doing much of anything about this except throwing it back in our faces as another reason this man's got to go. And with the suburban voters and all, this is just another reason for him to go. God only knows what happens with his base, though. This is really an interesting one. Will they just stay home or will they stay behind him?
Until we get to November, though, I mean, in the meantime, Trump's also removed Glenn Fine, the acting Pentagon Inspector General, and replaced him with Sean O'Donnell, and removed the chairman of the federal panel Congress created to oversee the Trump administration's management of the $2 trillion coronavirus stimulus package. This, to me, is starting to look a little bit like the night of the long knives, with Trump shaking off all checks to his power.
That's exactly what it is. And it's being looked like the day the Reichstag was burned and Hitler came to power. So I hate to keep bringing up these analogies, but they're looking very similar.
Of course, Trump is partially covered in his actions by the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, with the U.S. experiencing their highest death toll in a single day this week, more than 1,800 fatalities. Trump has been holding these hours-long press conferences using various experts as background props. Now, on the one hand, Trump is quite shrewd. These press conferences suck up a lot of oxygen from the rest of the news cycle, deny other things or things like Democrats' press coverage. On the other hand, he seems to be losing his goddamn mind if you seriously listen to some of the things he's saying and doing. I mean, thoughts on this one?
Well, my German just isn't good enough to cover it. That's exactly what he's doing. You got it right. He's sucking the news toward him and away from the possible candidates. There's going to be a swing. This virus will go, and the lockdown will go in the United States. I think it's going to open up a lot faster than here. I think by June, early July, the U.S. will start reopening. but they'll be putting some checks in place about gatherings and things like this. So your favorite bar, you're going to have a test before you go into it. The bouncers won't just be standing there looking at your ID. Any place that holds more than 25 people is going to have this new test, which is very cheap, to find out whether you have the virus and are virus resistant. So this is a test that's already being rolled out in Michigan and other states as workers return to work. So I think people will be screened into everything, and that includes here, that you're going to have a kiosk, and you'll go through something very much like the gates at the airport when you go to a football match or whatever, except this is going to be a real body scan. And the very devices they use now to check to see if you have something on you are probably pretty darn good with the addition of a small smart heat tester to detect if you have any kind of virus, if you have a cold or whatever. You're not getting on an airplane. You're not getting into a stadium. If you're coughing, you're not getting in, period. So I think we'll find a rolling recovery, letting people who are safe back into buildings, making sure buildings have safety checks before you go in. Your favorite restaurant, you may be waive the health check you got in the morning, but it won't be good in the evening. So that's where we're headed. The U.S. will have this kind of equipment in place pretty quickly, particularly the major states, and the U.S. will be back in business. I think the reason for this is multifold in the U.S., that this is actually a very good time for the U.S. to do three things. Get healthcare straightened out, get the social contract back in place so Americans feel safe, do away with some of the dirty industries and the dirty practices, and bring in some very clean industries with some decent jobs, and everyone has a minimum living wage in the United States. I think that's where we're going to end up.
Definitely looking at a brave new world on the other side of this one. That is for certain. Still on this, Trump and now Mike Pompeo have also floated withdrawing funding from WHO, the World Health Organization, following the crisis, claiming that it is them who have failed and that they are biased toward China in their dealings. This doesn't sound like great timing.
This is so stupid, it's unbelievable. The fact that they were, it doesn't matter whether they're late, early, or whatever, you need them to track the damn epidemic. My God, I've never heard of things any more stupid than that. And again, vindictive, because they didn't stop the virus. That's what he wants to say. It wasn't the knowledge of the virus. It was on the news long before Trump and the WHO said anything about it. Don't you read the newspaper, buddy?
And UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is also sick, although improving after being moved to intensive care with severe coronavirus symptoms. The UK is a bit delicate at the moment, Ed.
It is. It is. Brexit and now exit. The UK is in very difficult shape because Europe is on its knees. So Europe can't help the UK. And UK can't get anything from Europe. This was the worst possible timing for Brexit. And now the UK will pay a very big price. People wonder why the death number is so high in the UK. And for those of us who visit the UK, one of the things you notice, like the United States, is how many people look like they're out of shape in the UK. Overweight, puffy, and the like. So I think citizens that are healthy and better able to cope are maybe some getting mild cases of this. But if you have a chink in your armor, that's why I'm staying inside, you better be very careful. So I think we're going to see a very strong connection between the health of the general population and the damage of this disease.
And look, it's a lot of coronavirus talk on today's podcast, but we're coming up on the Easter weekend. Now, church services are still being considered essential in some U.S. states. Republican lawmakers in Kansas have gone as far as revoking the governor's stay-at-home order ahead of Easter services. Are we going to see the situation in America get worse through religious gatherings over Easter?
God, you know, I could say something about cardinals and so forth, but I'm not going to. It is very difficult to fight the church, no matter how backward it is. People who believe in the church also believe in Trump. The only trouble is they can carry the disease to the rest of us. So I think there'll be enough people with good common sense who will stay away. But the rest of us have to pray.
Well, to us, yes, legal team, appreciate you probably not going in on the Cardinals. Just before I let you go, just wanted your thoughts, and we touched on this one at the very top of the show. Last week we discussed voter suppression. Trump is all for it. If you don't suppress all those wrong types of voters, you'll never see a Republican elected again after all. Wisconsin, the Supreme Court voted 5-4 to allow Wisconsin to throw out tens of thousands of mail-in votes. The votes of citizens who mailed in their ballots late, not because they forgot, but because they didn't receive ballots until after Election Day due to the coronavirus pandemic. It's being called one of the most brazen acts of voter suppression in modern times. Thoughts, Ed?
To be expected. So get prepared for the national election. That's what we're in for. More and more of this.
All things being equal, Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe, maybe drop us a review wherever you find the podcast, and you can check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.